Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning? We are glad. Oh, I like that you responded some there. We are glad that you are here today, and we want to welcome all of you on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost. And a little bit later on, we'll be praying for our school kids and college students and our teachers and the staff and everybody. And then a little bit later on, we'll be talking about how God calls us into the church for a couple reasons that we will be talking about. So we'll be looking at that later on. We want to welcome those that may be listening online. And we're glad that you're here as we come into the presence of the Lord to gather as the people of God. So let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there this morning for our call to worship. Our help is in God.
He calls us to worship.
Our hope is in love.
He calls us to service.
Come, let us offer our full selves in worship. Well, let's join together there. We're going to sing our first hymn this morning. God will take care of you, 368. God takes care of us. Wow, what a great thought to leave this morning. Well, let's join together for our opening prayer this morning. Gracious God, we present our very selves as living sacrifices of worship. In this sacred time, renew our minds and strengthen our spirits. Show us your will that we may know what is good, acceptable, and perfect in your sight. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. First of all, I'm going to invite teachers, staff, aides, workers, if they would come down. First, this the teachers. Come on. You can thank my wife for what I'm going to do right now. Come on. Anybody else? Even if you're a homeschool parent, you can come. You're going to face that way.
One, two.
I got to make sure I got power on this one.
One, two.
It's partially there.
One, two.
There we go. Okay, I'm going to give you the mic. You're going to give your first name, and you're going to say or tell us what you do in the school system.
Hello, I'm Monica Justice. I teach at Torrey Christian. I teach four-year-olds, so I have 10 of them so far this year.
I'm Stephanie. I teach high school STEM program at Bethel.
I'm Jody Ebert. Wasn't sure if I was going to be able to see you up here this year, but I signed a contract on Friday, and I have a job.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to invite all of our kids to come up this morning. And I don't think we have any college kids because they're already gone, so. But on our prayer this morning. Okay, look. Nope, got to stand up. Don't sit down on this one. In a little bit. Okay, look out to everybody real quick. And give them your smiling faces. Oh, can you guys go through and holler out your names? Go ahead. Bryn.
Oliver. Maxton. Mary. Abby. Cadence.
Okay, yes. All right. All those fun. Okay. I'm going to ask all, you're going to turn because we're going to join and you can join with us for our little prayer time here. Didn't get that switched over quick enough. Okay, so I'm going to invite the congregation. If you would join with us, you're going to be praying that what's underlined, and I will begin the other parts then. Dear Lord, as students begin a new school year, we pray that you will keep them in your care. Open their minds to all that is true and beautiful and good. Help them see and use the gifts and talents you have given. Help them to grow in knowledge and wisdom. Help them to treat others with fairness and kindness. Give teachers understanding and strength as they work. Guide and guard each one and keep them from all harm. Enfold each person with your peace and protection. Hold them in the palm of your hand and bring them home safely each day. Amen. Amen. Okay, great. Okay, kids, now you can sit down and the rest of you back. I'm going to sit down with you guys. Well, are you guys all ready to go to school?
No.
Whoa, I've been hearing a lot of no's. Okay, there's a one that wants to go. Probably when I was younger, I was maybe thought more that way. Get over. Oh my gosh. I thought that was the organ from the movie The Ghost of Mr. Chicken for a second. With Don Knotts. And not everybody may know that. So you guys ready to go back? Yeah. What are you going to do there? What are you going to do? Be bored? What? more knowledge that we have about things, how our world works, and science, and history, and math, and all of those things, the more we can better our lives as human beings. And thankfully, God acknowledges that in Scripture. In the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, God talks about all of those things, learning these kind of things, and growing in them, because you know what it makes us? Wise. And what's the opposite of being wise? A fool. Or ignorant. And so the more we know things, we can make better decisions in life. And if we don't follow the things that are important and are true in all of those areas that you learn about, then sometimes we can make foolish decisions. And Scripture talks about that in all aspects. Solomon, in Scripture, was talked about as one of the wisest men. And he gained knowledge from all over the world at that time that they could reach. And that because of that, he was considered very wise. And so each of you have the chance in your years to finish high school. That's for some of you, it's quite a ways yet. But we don't, I'm sure mom and dad doesn't want it to go too fast, because it goes fast enough. And next thing you know, you might be going to college, or you might be going to technical school, which means you'll learn some kind of trade, you know. So all of those things, because we've got to have somebody that can fix our cars. And there's farmers in here that need somebody to be able to fix their tractors. So those are technical trades. Somebody's got to be a plumber. Somebody can be a doctor. Or a nurse. And one of the things I'm going to talk to the adults about, part of what I'm going to talk to them about, is how God gifts us. God gives us gifts that help us to do the things that we do in life. And they're very different gifts. Maybe your gift is you're really good at being a leader and guiding and directing people. So you might go into business and be a leader in a business one day, or something like that. Or maybe you're really good with your hands, and really smart with hand-eye coordination. No, you're not going to be a gamer. And while they're heading down that way, we will take a few moments to go to the Lord in prayer and give you a chance beforehand to share your joys and concerns. So we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So somebody this morning, who would like to begin? Oh, God, we'll just start here and work back. Okay, unspoken this morning. Two of them. All right. Yep.
My mom and dad celebrate 61 years this week.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, I just had somebody I was talking to at the fair this past week that said they're celebrating 64 years or so together. Somebody else. Yep. Yeah. Who?
Addie Rowe.
Yeah. What was the last name of the family of the person that passed away? Erickson, was that? Okay. All right. Yeah, so.
Unspoken.
Somebody else? Yep. Go ahead.
Prayers for Mr. Greg. We hit the road at 4:30 in the morning and have him all day outing at the James. And we're going to do a new treatment. And hopefully this will be successful.
Yep. He's been on our monthly for a few months there as he's been going through this. And definitely want to keep him in our prayers and their travel over to Columbus. You know, sometimes that's crazy in the morning, especially if you get there around 8. So, and, yeah. Yeah, somebody else.
First of all, I want to thank that man up there. I want to thank you people that sent prayers for me, brought me some food and stuff like that. And I had a lot of advice when I was off, and some of it was good, some of it wasn't good. I asked Carla, Dr. Carla Burton there for some advice, and she said, "Yeah, I got something for you." I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Don't be so clumsy." Be okay now. Thanks a lot. I do appreciate it all, and I love you all.
Love you,
yeah. Yeah, and we want to continue praying for Jim, and he's on our monthly list too, and especially going into September here. And while I'm saying that, if there's anybody that's been on our monthly prayer list that needs to be taken off, let me know, because I'm running out of room on there with some of the new ones that I just added for September. So, someone else. Okay, we'll go back. Don? Yes, amen. Yeah, the same kind of a situation. We're glad that he is here, and like Jim, and trying to get that strength back every day, we're grateful for that, and we want to continue praying for Don. He's on our monthly also, and was on, both of them were on our regular there for a while, but our weekly. Somebody else, yeah. And who?
Chris.
Okay. Somebody else. I know there's many hands. Yep.
From the prayer chain, we need to keep Jean in our prayers. She had a bunch of company this week from New York, and Jean Cabal, and she's just worn out. And then I have a person that wouldn't like me to give her name. Unspoken for her. Greta fell flat on her back and broke her back, lower back, and did sever his spinal cord.
Oh.
And he's paralyzed from the neck down. And then you said, oh, pray for America war in the world.
Did you say Nathan? Did you mention a Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I don't mind just names without specifics at times. I understand that. And but yeah, I thought you slipped that in there real quick, and I wanted to make sure I got the name right. A couple other hands I saw.
My cousin Christian, he's been in the hospital with his leg problem, and he's
okay.
Been yep.
Okay, yes, and we spent months praying for Chris before, didn't we? Yeah. So we got two of them now. Somebody else.
My sister Jill is really struggling emotionally this past week. She hasn't felt great. She's been in AFib. She's really struggling this week. Prayers for lifted spirits and healing because she will have. I think she's supposed to have treatment again this week.
Yeah, she's going. It started off single, and then the second time it was a double. They're doing a double chemo treatment with two different medicines at one time. Yeah, and it's all infusion, which is just horrible on the body. So appreciate your prayers.
The football player's name is Parker Wendt.
Parker.
Senior, starting quarterback.
Oh boy.
First game of the season, I believe.
That's scary anytime that something like that happens. Hopefully, I don't know. We'll have to really pray about that one.
I think it injured his spinal cord, not necessarily severed it. So there's prayers that some of the feeling will come back.
Good. That's what I was kind of hoping. So, yeah. Okay. And they did say spinal cord injury, so yeah. And all right, somebody else. Yep.
That brings up a week. A lot of you know that we've been praying for Roger, my 98-year-old brother. And he ate Monday night, and he didn't eat anything or drink anything for 3 days. Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Every day I do see him, I think, you know, this is the last time I'm going to see him. He's gone. When you know it, Friday, they come in Thursday, and the therapist swapping, kind of revived, opened his eyes. And Friday, he was sitting up eating. And yesterday, I was there yesterday. And he did say back to me that he loved me. So it's amazing.
That's good.
It's been very hard on his wife, Nancy. Yeah. She went to see him. She comes to the nursing home to see him. Barbie and Steve's daughters, prayers for them. And Lori, Steve's wife, Lori. Nancy came Friday to see him and fell backwards. And they took her to the ER. So that entered into it too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So we'll pray for Roger and Nancy. Yep. Yep. And until our time, yeah. Roger and Nancy, we want to pray for then. Yeah. And the family. So somebody else. Somebody else. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was, I think they mentioned that. Yeah. Okay, so we want to remember the Rove family. Someone else? Anybody else? All right. Lots of names. Amelia, we had prayed for. I have not heard any more about her. She is the going to be a sophomore at Miami East. Her liver? I think her liver was failing. And I haven't heard any more on that, but we want to continue remembering her. For Matt, have we heard anything Okay, so Matt, that's going to have the surgery on his heart, and when that's all going to happen, continue to pray for Jody. There's still that kind of outstanding issue, which we still haven't heard anything on, about the state. And Alice Schaefer, you know, many of you know Alice that sits back there, Ashley Purcell's grandma, fell this week, is all bruised up, and she was in communications with Jody, and she needs that strength too. And so we want to keep Alice in our prayers this morning also. So, all right, well, lots of different ones to pray for. As she plays, it'll give you a chance, some of these names that come to your mind, or the ones you feel impressed to pray for, and then I'll come and close this out. Lord, we're grateful today that we can gather together as your people, that we can take time out of the busyness, the exhaustion, everything sometimes we face on a daily basis. We can come here in your presence. We can experience your grace. We can experience your peace. We can quiet our hearts and we can receive from you words of encouragement, songs of praise, prayers that make a difference in people's lives. Because you said the prayers of an upright person are effective. And so we're grateful and thankful for those things today. And we're thankful that we are able to stand in the gap for various ones that have been mentioned today. Lord, we lift them up by name and ask that you would touch each one in their specific need and area today. As we lift up Addie today, as we lift up Greg, as we lift up Jim, as we lift up Don, as we lift up Chris, as we lift up Jean, as we lift up Bretta, as we lift up Nathan and Chris and Jill and Parker and Alice and Matt and Amelia and Roger and Nancy and the family. God, we just ask that you would touch each one of these that we mentioned by name. Lord, we know that you know what is going on. And so we ask that you would bring your healing touch, your healing grace, your healing strength, peace, comfort, faith, whatever may need to be there. We ask that you would move and minister as only you can do as we lift them up to you. We lift up the Roth family and the Erickson family, God, with the loss of these loved ones. We pray for your comfort, your peace, your grace for each of them today. Lord, we pray for these four unspoken requests today, and maybe there was more that didn't get mentioned. Lord, you know each one of those situations, and we ask that you would move and that you would work. Lord, we pray for peace in our world, peace in our situations, peace in the Middle East, peace in Russia and Ukraine. other places and countries around the world were fighting and civil war and so many other things that have been going on for decades. God, somehow we pray for the peace of the world today. And Lord, we continue to pray for our own country. God, that you would guide us to the ways of Christ, that we would live as your people, your church would live as the people you call us to be, so that we can be light and salt in the world. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for hearing us today. We ask your blessing upon the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word. May you encourage us and challenge us and increase our faith, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And that we might grow to be the people that you've called us to be. As we thank you now for it all, as we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with us this morning. Appreciate that so much. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that that is the way God continues the work of the local church and reaching out and ministering and the word and all that comes forth. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Well, let's join together there for our dedication this morning. Loving God, extend our offering with your love in the building of your realm among us. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you, Carla, for that little bit different rendition of I Love to Tell the Story there this morning. So, well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary epistle reading, Romans chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 8. And you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us. We are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. And that is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. I know I've shared this before. It maybe been a year or two since I shared it. But there was a visiting minister at a congregation, and he was preaching a sermon on temperance. And with great emphasis, he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I would take it and pour it into the river." And in even greater emphasis, he said, "If I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and pour it into the river." And finally, shaking his fist in the world, he said, "If I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and pour it into the river." After he completed his sermon, he sat down and the song leader came up very cautiously and announced with a smile, almost laughing, "Let's join together to sing our closing hymn, Shall We Gather at the River?" Shall we gather at the river? All right, I want to talk to you this morning about uniquely gifted. Uniquely gifted. Okay. How many of you like butterflies? How many of you like butterflies? So I'm way behind on the program. I usually am sometimes when it comes to time. And we were just talking about the Arboretum down there off of 48. And as soon as somebody started talking about that, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to go. In the 20 some years I've lived here, I never got to go to the butterfly thing that they had down there. And they told me, oh, that's no longer there anymore. And I was like, oh no. I mean, we all know. We know about butterflies. We know how they start and how that, what's that word, Jody? Do you remember it? That they metamorphose. Chrysalis, yeah. When they transform and they're changed and all of that happens. And it's just a beautiful thing. what that entails. So keep that in mind as we go through our message today. Because faith for Paul is not simply about believing right things. It's about becoming right people or persons. And in other words, we become a people whose lives increasingly reflect the character, life, mercy, grace, and generosity of Christ. In Romans 12, after spending 11 chapters talking about God's incredible grace, Paul begins to describe what that grace looks like when it takes hold of our lives. And here's why I want you to think a little bit about the butterfly, because he says those famous words that many of us know, "Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds." And that word transformed is important because it's where we get our English word metamorphosis from. Like the butterfly or the caterpillar, whatever that is, that transforms into a butterfly. What is Paul talking about with that word? Paul is talking about allowing God's Spirit to reshape us from the inside out. Now, we don't live in a cocoon for however long it is to turn into a butterfly. But every day through our living, the things we face and the pressures of life and the even sometimes the joys of life, all of that is forming us on the inside. So today I want us to consider two important truths. As God transforms us, God also gifts us for the good of the body of Christ and for our lives in the world. So let's begin by talking about transformation. Transformation matters. Transformation matters. My first point there. As citizens of heaven that Paul tells us about in Philippians, he says your citizenship is not in this world. If you are more concerned about yourself as an American than you are a Christian, you are missing something greatly. Because Paul says, I'm a citizen of the Roman Empire. And he used that, Acts tells us he used that on occasions to be able to minister in places and do things that he got away with that he wouldn't normally get away with. Now, I don't mean bad things getting away with. I mean getting the gospel into places, and then when it caused a ruckus, one time they started to beat him, and Paul says, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, so this, I don't know if Paul was like this, but you're beating a Roman citizen without a trial, and they immediately stopped and were scared, because when Romans violated things at times, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, we know that from history. So we're citizens of heaven, but we're also members of the body of Christ. Both of those are true at one time. And as citizens of heaven and members of the body of Christ, transformation is essential. Now, and it's true for our lives today. The lying, greedy, violent, corrupt, abusive ways of worldly power are more apparent than ever in our lives today. Paul saw this brutal way of life in his day almost every day. And here he is writing to Christ's followers living in the empire, right in the capital city of Rome. That a world and place dominated by violence, brutality, greed, hierarchy, and control. He saw it. And Paul saw, and you read this all throughout his letters, you can see it. Paul saw such ways as antithetical to love, mercy, grace, compassion, and goodness. So he prompts the church, don't be conformed to that kind of thinking where you think that that's okay to do, because it's not. Instead, he says you need to be transformed. And it all happens in our minds, because everything starts with our minds. What we listen to, what we hear, you know, what is propagated to us every day, you know, what you watch on TV every day, whatever it may be, all of those things can prompt you. It gets into your mind and then it gets into your spirit, and it clouds your spirit and makes you angry and bitter and all kinds of things. And then the next thing you know, you're angry at your family, you're angry at people, you're angry at work, whatever it may be. Don't let that stuff get into us. Why? Because transformation occurs as we present ourselves to the Spirit's voice, or you might even say to the Spirit's work in our lives. Because the work and voice go hand in hand. Paul encourages the renewal of our minds by living for God, setting ourselves apart to God, by pleasing God, and by exercising our gifts that God has given us, which I'm going to say more about in just a minute. And he says that when we live that way and follow the Spirit's voice and follow the Spirit's work and leading, that is our reasonable act of worship. So worship is not just when we come in on Sundays. Worship is an everyday occurrence in our lives. And as we do this, and here's what I really want you to get a hold of. As we do this, the Spirit shapes us as a unique piece of a puzzle. One of the things that was so hilarious in Jody's family, in the 20-some years that I've been a part of it, is that Jody's mom and dad always had a puzzle on a table in the little front room there of the house. And there were so many times that the puzzle was just about done and there was one missing. And her dad would say, "I can't find that piece." Let me tell you something this morning. You are not missing. God knows where you are. God knows where you are. God knows how he's shaping you. And we don't have to find some... let me push that analogy a little bit further. Have you ever tried to stick a piece in and it was almost right there, but that little spot, and you kept pushing to try to get it down in? You know, God, through the Spirit, is working by speaking to us and prompting us on the inside and leading us and guiding us and equipping us. And we don't have to be forced in. We just have to surrender, so to speak. And here's the thing. Each piece, each of us is different. But each piece, each of you, is vital to complete the big picture. Okay. Let me use a different illustration that for those of you that like sports. Like in football, each player must do their part. The quarterback needs the center to snap it correctly. The linemen need to block. The receivers need to run their route and catch if it's being passed to them. All working together. And here's what I want you to get a hold of. To complete a pass. At times it could be a touchdown. Eventually we hope it'll be to win the game. But guess what's in between? Lots of doing what we're supposed to be doing. Lots of catches. Lots of moving down the field. And hopefully a touchdown. And hopefully then we win the game. It's true in life. It's true in the body of Christ. We're doing what we're called to do, and we do it over and over and over again. That is why transformation matters. Because God is working on us and through us. And don't be like people that I've heard every church I've pastored at. Well, when I get my life together more, then I'll do something in the church. Nope. If you say that, guess what? You'll never do anything in the church. Because none of us are perfect. We're always growing. We're always being transformed. Transformation is a part of us and a part of our lives that God does on us daily and when we gather for worship. Okay, number two, giftedness is vital. Giftedness is vital. This is obvious, but God has gifted all of us. We don't have to be somebody else. We don't have to have somebody else's personality or their abilities or their place in life to be useful to God. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a CEO. You know, you can be a construction worker and whatever it may be, using your hands, crafting things, whatever it may be to be used. And you know what I love about this church is I see people that are gifted in their life out there. And when we need it in here, they use it. Like Tom and Brad, who fix everything. You know, or others, you know, that have taken care of stuff. And I just picked them out, but I could pick every one of you out. And here's the thing. We just have to exercise and use our God-given gifts. Then what happens? What happens? And if you really want to read the whole thing about this, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And guess what's right in the middle? 12 and 14 talk about our gifts and how they're used for the body of Christ. And what's in the middle? The love chapter. Because everything has to be done in love. Our gifts strengthen the body of Christ. So if you happen to read those chapters, you will find out about how it uplifts, equips, encourages the body of Christ. And here's the thing. And this is what I want you to grab. Something is missing if we don't use what God has given us. Just like that missing puzzle piece. If it never goes in there, the picture's not complete. That's why Paul urges the Roman believers to lean into their gifts. He says, if your gift is speaking, that's prophesying, then speak. If serving, then serve. If teaching, then teach. If encouraging. And he goes on and on and on. And these are only part of them. There's some in 1 Corinthians 12. There's some in Romans 12 and 1 Peter, I think 3, somewhere in there. And those are just a smidgen of what's going on. So what's Paul saying? Well, this is what Paul's saying. In other words, own what God gives. Own what God gives. Have you heard that? I remember, I don't know how many years ago now it was, when we used to hear that in leadership things. Own it. And pastors were taught to get their congregations to own the vision. Own the vision of the church. What we're doing, what's going on. Well, you have to own things too in your own lives. And me too. We have to own what God has given us. That doesn't mean we become proud, but it means we recognize that God has graced us with something. Gifts, and as Paul says there, a measure of faith or trust. And then we use the gifts and exercise them in the body of Christ and even out in the world. We lean into the strengths and abilities God has given us and we exercise them with humility. Okay. Let's hit the rubber meets the road for a second. Maybe you spent years thinking, I don't really have much to offer. Maybe you compare yourself to someone else and decided, what I could give or do isn't that important. Maybe someone told you what you have isn't that valuable in the congregation. But God is saying to us today, I've given you something. It's time to use it. Some gifts need to be awakened. Maybe you haven't used them in years. Some gifts need to be developed. And some gifts simply need permission to come alive again. Together, we are uniquely gifted for the task at hand. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another and share that blessing, and then we will close out with our chorus this morning. Together for our benediction, go forth as the body of Christ, built on the foundation of God's grace.
We go to love and serve with our
gifts. Go now with the blessing and giftedness of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.